heard that a few other people have some, you know, some, how should we say, talents in musical instruments. We'd love to have you, you know, toot your own horn or come up and do different things. And so I love to see the choir full. It's good that God is using men and women, amen, in that area. It prepares the heart for the preaching. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And we've been focused this morning on fulfillment, and you know, we talked about the two different things. If you weren't in here or didn't get to hear the replaying of the message at 2 o'clock, many of you I know served in different Sunday school classes and taught in junior church and didn't necessarily get to hear it. But again, today, without doubt, is Palm Sunday. It is a day that again the Lord Jesus came into that's the day they kind of mark, and that He comes riding into Jerusalem. And there is rejoicing and praise that the Messiah has come. And they are touting Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and ready for Him to set up His kingdom. But it wasn't time yet. I've started to begin to search and look for fulfillment and how the world does that. Really, this week, been searching the Word of God for fulfillment. And as I began to look through all those things, I looked at several different things that the world measures as self-fulfillment. Again, I'll just remind you, I said this Wednesday night, I'll say this again, anytime that we are trying to, when we are trying to fulfill ourselves, that is always going to end up in pride. That's always going to find itself and end up in a place that we're trying to build our own selves up. Now, the world and even some strong Americans, we believe in work. We believe in, I believe that we ought to live right and do right. But I'm just going to tell you, just before we even get in the message tonight, the selfless, humble serving of God is not easy. It's work. Sometimes we think it's just give up and throw our hands back and take the nasty plunge into God's arm and He does it all for us. That isn't how it works, is it? When we surrender to God, they're still trying to drive, continue to give up to every morning when we wake up to crucify the flesh and live in the Spirit. It's a daily battle. You don't do it once. I think sometimes we think that living unto God or giving up and giving over to Him is something that we do one time and it's done and over with. There are too many people that even serve full-time in the ministry across the nation. That's why we have pastors that fall into sin. That's why we have people that run, or, you know, fall out of the ministry. People get discontent with the things that God wants for them and the things that God brought them to and called them out of the world and put them into the ministry. They start to look for self-fulfillment in the things that God can only fulfill in them. They start looking to, if I can say it like this, they get discontent because their rejoicing is no longer in the Lord, but now it's in the things that are provided by God, the things that are provided through finances, the things that are provided in the house, in the, if I could say, family, whatever it is that you're looking for that you think will bring fulfillment. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, God is the only place that true fulfillment can be found. I preached it this morning, and tonight I want to focus. This morning was focused on the lost man and trying to help the saved man see fulfillment for what it is, but I want to preach tonight on Christ, that fulfillment through Christ will be the title. Fulfillment through Christ. This is a simple passage of Scripture and one you've heard preached over and over again, but I could not escape this when I saw what self-fulfillment in the world was and then how God measures out right in the Scripture the opposite contrast in the Bible. I mean, it's as far apart as you can make, but again, they have to live under the law of God. God has measured out natural laws in this world. Even the world, I was surprised to find that self-fulfillment had 7 natural laws. Because 7 is the number of completion. All right? And even the world couldn't get outside of that. And so when they measured that out, these things are not things that, you know, again, they're things you say, well, this is just something you dug up off the internet. No, folks, a lot of these things come all the way down from the ancient Greeks, who were trying to build up their own gods or make gods out of the moon and the stars and lightning and everything else. They were looking, even in that day, for self-fulfillment. every group of people, even the Romans, who, as far as my study in the past, they built a society that was, as far as a governmental society, that was as free as it could be. That was the Roman Empire, all right? But then the one the people really knew they were free and they had liberty, they, just like a Christian, they turned, without God to govern and to keep morals, they turned their liberty into, let's have whatever we want. They turned it into access, and there was no moderation, and they just turned loose, and the worse they became morally, then the more they, again, they were known for their armies and the kind of resolve that they had as Romans, and all that fell apart to the end of the Roman Empire, where they were hiring in men that would come and fight for them because they didn't even have men of war. If that isn't a great picture of America today, where we have pansied down our whole nation to the place where we don't think there's anything worth fighting for anymore. I would fight for my God and my country, and our nation has always stood upon that, and we've pansied down our nation. When there is no God, then why would you fight for a piece of dirt that God gave you? I'm just telling you, that's where we've come as a nation. Oh, there's nothing worth fighting for. No, there's things worth fighting for in this life, folks. And they're sitting all around you. Your brother, your sister in Christ, there are things worth fighting for in your family. There are things worth standing up and dying for. Too often in this life, I've heard several men say this as of recent, but I do think we need to mark these things. There are hills that you should die on. If it comes to that, there are places that you ought to stake your feet and with resolve say, I'm not giving an inch on this. I believe the Bible. I believe God's word, and I will stand on this mountain and fight. And whether I die, I die, but I'm going to give every ounce of my personal measure to stand for this. And we, in this place, we stand for the word of God. But beyond that, we can't just tout it. When we stand for the word of God, it means we stand for everything inside of it. That means we measure out every piece of the book and every commandment, every suggestion, every prayer request, everything the Bible is, we ought to be working on studying, knowing, and living out in our daily life. It will bring moderation to all men in it that read it and know it and live it. The Bible is going to give us so many things here that I don't even know if I have time to preach. So tonight, I don't want to leave you hanging. So first of all, let's start off with prayer, and then I'm going to run as hard as I can because I'm going to try to do two things at once, and I'm not good at it. Chewing bubble gum, patting my head, rubbing my belly, none of those things work for me. So I'm going to try to measure those things out and do it as fast as I can tonight. Amen. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Dear Lord, as I come to you again, Lord, I beg you. I know that you've laid this message upon my heart. I just want to be your messenger boy. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would do the work through me, Lord. Give me a fiery unction to preach your word tonight, God. I pray that you would just use me to speak the words that you have in your word. I desperately want your people to feel fulfillment through Christ tonight, and I know that that's what you've burdened my heart. I beg you, God, to help me. Help me now as we speak to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. In Philippians chapter 4, I want to read these things. We're going to begin in verse number 4, but tonight I want you to see this. The world measures 7 steps to self-fulfillment. Number 1, it says, surround yourself with positivity. It means your environment is everything. Surround yourself with positivity. Is it any wonder that the world wants to change everyone else to their mindset? Because if you are against them, then that's not positive. If you stand for anything, that can't be positive, right? Because you're standing against them. And so you see why the world is trying to change everyone to their view. And then number 2, you have to realize, this is visualize success. That's number 2. That means you have to see for yourself what you think success is. I'm sorry to tell you, folks, that, you know, you can't just have it the way you want it. This life is not like Burger King. You don't get it like you want it. And Burger King ain't served it out how I wanted it in a long time. Amen. I'm just going to tell you, we've got to come to a place where we realize this thing is crazy. Self-fulfillment. Visualize your success. Then number 3, celebrate your accomplishments. You see that in the world? Number 4, take charge. Number 5, help others. Boy, they were getting awful selfish till they get to number 5 and they wanted to feel better about themselves. Yeah. Even people that are lifted up within pride, they'll number 1 and say, help others, right? That means give to charities to make yourself feel better. Because by the time they got to number four, they knew it wasn't working, so they threw something in that made them feel better.
Yeah, yeah.
Go out and give blankets to people in the cold, but you don't know their name. Go give to people, you know, warm and filled. The poor you have always with you, the Lord Jesus says. And we live in a day and age. Folks, don't be lost in this progressive, liberal junk of the world. All right? I'm just telling you, we've got to come to a place where we realize when you start seeing liberals and they care nothing, all right, nothing about the people, they don't lift up the middle class. You go to every state in this nation. You go to California, the most liberal state in these United States, and you will find tent cities everywhere where the middle class is growing, because that's what they think the middle class is, living in a tent with a tarp. Because, and then just go down and we'll feed you, we'll make sure that we have plenty of places. Listen, that's not my idea of the middle class, folks. All right, the middle class has been around a long time, and it doesn't look like that. That sure looks like the bottom. Instead of living in a cardboard box, they'll give you a tarp and you can build you a little shelter. Amen. I call that communism. And the places that are closest to communism and call themselves socialism, oh, but you know, man, I tell you what. Boy, I thank you, Lord, for guiding me tonight. Well, I tell you what, you know, sometimes we get into a place, you know, people don't like it when I preach on politics. I'm just going to tell you, people tell me real quick, I don't like it when you preach on politics. We know I don't like how you don't preach on politics. I don't like how we think, like the world, that self-fulfillment comes with everybody being positive. Sometimes falsehoods need to be called out and preached against. All right? Look at this. He says, take charge, help others. Number six, take care of yourself. All right? And even in quotations they had, this is finding balance in your life. All right? Now, I knew this wasn't true when I was a kid. My dad said if I worked hard, that was the American dream. Any man could work hard and attain success. And again, that's working himself into the middle class in America. But you know, this idea of take care of yourself, that's not work hard in our day. That's take time. You know, that's go to the spa. I don't even know what a spa was before I was 12 years old. And even then, I was like, what? Oh, come on now. I could tell I lost half of you right there. Then it says in 7, and this is what really got me when I got to this one. The last one was find the good. See, their search for fulfillment ends up in a search. They have no idea what good is, what truth is. They end up in a search. It says focus on the positives next to it. Folks, I'm so thankful that God's word begins and ends with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, it begins and ends with us being weak and us being strengthened through Christ. Here in the scripture, I mean, that's just the bare bones of it. Do you know I was weak and lost and unable to do anything about it, but Jesus left heaven and died on the cross to save me and pulled me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. I'm just going to tell you how good God is to me. There is no fulfillment outside of Jesus Christ. And then in the scripture, it says that through I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So from beginning of end, it's through Christ that all my life I'm going to find fulfillment. And for the Christian, listen, today, if you are feeling like you are less of yourselves or you're not everything or you're not fulfilled, it's probably because there's an area of your life that is yet to be surrendered to the will of God.
Amen.
Through Christ.
Amen.
And we hate to admit that. We're looking for some magic potion, some pill that we can take, some tea that we can drink, some way that we can find a three-step program where we can find fulfillment. But the fulfillment is found in one name, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, the Bible regiments something the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, is writing to the church at Philippi, and he's desiring to give them so many things. He wants them. Look at verse number 1, and I'm going to skip down to verse 4 after that. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul begins this ending of his letter, this chapter, he begins this thought that he loves these people. He desperately wants them. Do you know what I really want for my children? Do you know what I really want for our church? What I really want for the families and the people? I want you to feel fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I don't want you finding and going out into the world and looking for what God has always had for you, what God could always give you, and there's no need of going down a road and looking for it. When we get in, too many times we don't practice what the Bible teaches, preaches to us on a daily basis, and we find ourselves unfulfilled, and we think it's God's fault. We'll think it's the church's fault. The first thing people will say before they leave a church is, I'm not being fed there. All right? But the old adage is absolutely true. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And if you show up to God's place every week and you go to a Sunday school with a separate teacher and you go to the preacher and the preacher dumps out the word of God and you've got the scripture and you have the truth on a daily basis, you get in the word of God and you don't feel like you're fed, whose fault is it? Is it not God who's calling and pulling and drawing you? Don't blame it on the preacher. Don't blame it on the Sunday school teacher. Don't blame it on somebody else. There's a desperate problem deep down in your soul and you're not seeking or humble or, if I could say this, submissive to the will of God. All too often, submissiveness is the problem. Even the Lord Jesus modeled in his life submissiveness to the will of the Father. And all too often, the place that we can't get over, the thing that trips us up in finding fulfillment is we're not submissive. We're unwilling to humble or to give up the one thing that we think if we let go of, we will be empty. But it is the thing that God wants to tear away from you to give you fulfillment. Amen, amen and amen. Look at the scripture. He says in verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Don't mix it up with always. The corrupt versions of the Bible will add an S onto God's word, and God says always because that never ends. Yeah. Or you could say it like my preacher used to say it, all the way through this life. Amen? Until I'm made into his likeness. Rejoice in the Lord always. Listen, I don't know. I mean, if the world says, number one, I'm supposed to surround myself with positivity, it sounds like somebody had been reading the Bible. But you know, the Bible doesn't say surround yourself with positive people. It says in any circumstance you find yourself, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Whether you're in the battlefields of the Ukraine or you're in the freedom-loving U.S. of A., you can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Circumstances can never change your rejoicing. You can let the circumstances of this life change how you rejoice. But if you wake up, no matter the circumstance, and realize that God is always good, that God is always gracious, God is always merciful, God is always loving, God is always welcome, God is always not, God is always good. If we could come to that in our lives and wake ourselves up to the fact, sober ourselves up to this thing of the world and say, I reject all the things in the world and trying to be happy the way the world wants me to be happy and the joy that the world thinks they can give and just realize God is good and I'm saved and all my way to heaven. If nothing else was ever done in my Christian life, and wait, God is way better than that, amen? But salvation would give us the reason to rejoice in the Lord always. Too many times, our sour, poochy lip diseased life is our attitude between us and God. We always got something to complain about when really the Bible says we always have something to rejoice about. Think about all the people that God put around you, and you know they're human. You know they were lost and in their sins just like you were. You know that they're not perfect, but we'll spend our day, every day, complaining about the neighbor that we have next to us or the person serving next to us in God's work, and he's working on them just like he's trying to work on me, instead of keeping my mind in a place of rejoicing. That he woke me up this morning. He put me back into his work. He let me go, and he's given me strength to be his again today, and that he's got a purpose for my life until he comes. Man, I'm telling you, we always have a reason to rejoice. Second of all, he says this, in every, let your moderation be known unto all men. Look at verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Do you know what's important for us? It says visualize success. Do you know for the Christian, what I visualize on a daily basis is the Lord is at hand. Do you realize the excitingness is I get to rejoice today and believe that I can work today because today could be the last day before he comes. The Lord is at hand. He says, I get this. I know you may not love this like I do, but let your moderation be known unto all men. That means until the Lord comes, I'm supposed to model him before this world. There are too many people that preach lifestyle evangelism, but let me tell you, your lifestyle will scream a testimony one way or the other. All right, whether you're a complainer about all the things around you and about how, man, I just don't like that preacher down there, and man, he preaches too long, and he does. I mean, we could talk about all those things, but I don't know how many people that you invite are going to come with you when you complain about that all the time. Yeah. Amen? I don't know how, and you know, we'll go farther. We'll say this. How about this one? You know, when I want you to come to church with me. The only night I could go is Wednesday night, and I realize your car is still in the driveway on Wednesday night because you don't go. So that's the only night I could go. I'm just telling you, you know, that's the only night. Well, I'll go with you. That, well, you know, but again, our testimony is being, our moderation is being shown to all men. I don't want to be someone, you know, the word moderate, I want you to see this. Moderation is something that, what do you mean, preacher? Look, it's a state of being moderate. Moderate means literally limited, restrained, or temperate. The word temper is the beginning of the word temper, and when we talk about a temper, we know somebody has gotten out of hand. They lost their temper. It means their restraint. It means being limited. All right? Even this is really good. When I read the moderate, it means to temper, to make temperate. And this is what was really good, to qualify. Do you know that the world is constantly looking for us? You know, in a race, when you race, they have qualifying laps. All right? You get out on the track. And that's because they let every rookie get out there and run. Because they want their money. They want to take their money for entering the race. And then they run, and they only qualify so many cars. They make sure that they measure up, that they're fast enough to be in the race. Do you know the Christian life, we're in the race whether we like it or not. If we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all running our race, and we're not running against the other Christians, and that's how we live our life. The problem is the world does watch us run our race. And they're looking desperately to see if we qualify for what at least they know about the Bible. And they know that every time the doors are open, a Christian ought to be there. They know a Christian ought not talk like that. They know a Christian ought not drink. They know a Christian ought not smoke. They know all those things about a Christian. And our testimony can be lost, and they will disqualify your words and your talk and your invitation to come and receive the good word of God just because you didn't let your moderation be known to all men. I'm just going to tell you, folks, as we're not growing in our area of moderation in this life, you know what happens? We don't feel very fulfilled. You know, when the Christian, I'm telling you, I'm going to get myself in trouble, amen? Hey, I'm just going to tell you come into a place like this, nobody tells you how to dress. You just don't feel like you fit in. You don't feel fulfilled in God's house if you don't fit in your dress. All right, if you don't come, and you say, well, I feel the Spirit is here. I'm just going to tell you, man. You say, well, preacher, does everybody need to wear a tie? No, but everybody ought to cover themselves up. All right? Everybody ought to have moderation. Everybody ought to dress up a little bit. I mean, you know, I realize if you come in from work on a Wednesday night, please come to church. Please come to church. Amen? And whether it's your work clothes, your dungarees, or whatever it is, get here. But listen, I'm here to tell you, it wasn't long in my Christian life that I wanted to dress up a little bit for the Lord. I didn't wear what I wore on every other day. I dressed up for him when I came to his house. I showed moderation. I wanted to show the world that this, something was different about this place, that it was God's house, and I was coming to meet with him and his people. You say, well, that's old-fashioned. Well, call me old-fashioned if that's what you want to call me, all right? I'm looking to be fulfilled by God's word, God's work, and his will. I want to do the will of God for my life, and I want to desperately show my moderation to all men. I'm not looking to run the edges. Ladies, I'm telling you, if you're running the edges of seeing, is this just where the line is, or is it long enough? Amen. Is it going to be the old tugger skirt where I got to tug and tug and tug the whole time I'm in church so I stay moderate, so I stay modest? Listen, that's not God's will for our lives. Boy, you say, preacher, you're getting into meddling tonight. No, I just want you to be fulfilled. You can't be comfortable that way. I'm not comfortable that way. Nobody around you is comfortable that way. How about just find fulfillment in God's word and get to a place where you know that you are in God's work and in his will, in your dress, in your speech, in the way you act, the way you walk, the way you talk, in everything you do. I'm not wondering if I'm cutting the line or getting too close to the edge. I'm right smack dab in the midst of God's word. I'm right where he wants me to be. Fulfillment comes from not running the edge of the line, but being where God wants us and knowing it. I thank God the peace that I have and know that I'm saved. But I even take more peace knowing that I know that I have the book and know that I have the speech of God and I can talk like he wants me to talk. I know that I'm not supposed to drink and I abstain from those things. There are too many times that we run the edges and one time is okay. No, no, no. 1,000 times no. You'll never find fulfillment in running the questionable things of this life. Show your moderation. How about doing it like this? Always give God the benefit of the doubt. If there's a question, then go past the line so there's no question anymore in your mind and in your heart. You are being obedient, submissive, and humbled to the will of God and his word. Amen. Look at this. How about this one? Look at the scripture with me, if you would. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, this area of scripture is not new to us, but I just want you to be reminded, if I'm going to find fulfillment, I am first going to rejoice. Second of all, I am going to come to a place in my life. This is where I get my spirit, my soul, even my body in line with God in my moderation. They see it on the outside because something took place on the inside, and now, in the world says, celebrate your accomplishments. The Christian doesn't celebrate their accomplishments because their accomplishments are all through Christ. So guess who we celebrate? We come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night to celebrate what Jesus did for me. We celebrate with our crowd. It's a different crowd. We get excited about what he's done through prayer, supplications, and thanksgiving. Let me just say this. Prayer is always asking. Prayer is always asking God. Supplication is us. It's different. It's not just boldly asking God for something, but it's humble, submissive requests being made unto God. Do you know in this life, the supplications of our lives, when was the last time, instead of just asking God for an answer, you realized that you desperately needed an answer from him and you humbled yourself? You know what prayer, what supplication sounds like? God, this is what I want, but your will be done. I will do whatever it is that you want me to do. Too many times the Christian asks for God to do and get in on their plan instead of humbling themselves, submitting themselves to the will of God and say, God, your will be done, whatever it is, I'm going to follow it. Too many people get way out of whack and they find themselves in an unfulfilled state because they never get past praying. And listen, the people that won't go to supplication usually aren't people that start their prayers off with thanksgiving and end them with thanksgiving. They don't think about all that God has done for them. Sometimes when I get feeling down a little bit, amen, I got to drive around the property when I start realizing all the things. And listen, don't think that it's just me. When preacher gets excited, maybe when he got down low, he'd get up here and talk about all that God has done. I start driving around the property, and even though I feel like there's still things to do till Jesus comes, I start looking at all the things that we have done. I look at the things I did with pastor and the things that we did together, and I look at the things that I've done in the past year and the men of God that continue to work with me and the ladies that teach here and all the good things that God has done, and I get encouraged assurance that if God did it in the past, God can do it again. If I just follow him and I give him thanks, God, thank you for walking with me. Thanks for going the last mile. Help me with the next mile. Help me step another mile out for you. Hey, folks, too many times we let ourselves get down and we don't give thanks for God and we think somehow we just, showed up here at this point in our life. That's not how it happened. God saved us and he brought us into his church. Sometimes along the way we surrendered and we came to God's house and we got into his truth and in his book and in this place and we found a place and we thought the Spirit was great when we came in, but then we ruined it because our spirit got bad and we didn't get right with God. And we don't feel like the Spirit is like it used to be in here. Whose spirit changed? Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, we got to come to a place where we go to God and pray. We go to God just not praying, but we go to God and realize when I ask, ultimately, more than I want what I want his will for my life. And let me just say, you know, there's general prayer, and then there's specific prayer asking God for his will, and that is supplication. And then thanking God for answering. Wouldn't that be something if the Christian found fulfillment in asking God for a general request of my own, but then saying, God, I humbly defer to you because you know what's best. Your will be done in my life. Whatever it is. Hey, folks, let me just remind you this. If we're really going to find fulfillment, we've got to come to a place where we leave the general will of God. Salvation and the early things that we find, and we seek God's specific will for us. That is where we will find true fulfillment in this life. And the only way that happens is moving past just trusting in God to answer my prayer, but to trust God to answer my prayer in the midst of his will because I'm surrendered to it. Because I'm willing to do whatever he wants. I'm willing to go wherever he wants me to go. I'm willing to sit on the other side of the church if he asks me. Amen? How about that one? I thought some of you would get that. Amen. Let your requests be made known unto God. Look, number four. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. Do you know fulfillment? I don't know that you could reach fulfillment without the peace of God. You have to have peace with God. It's not just your conscience. You know, you can sear your personal conscience and try to reach self-fulfillment. But the Holy Spirit of God, you got to quench him. You got to really quench him to a place where you can't. You got so far away from him that he stops convicting. Until the place, you know, and he's not going to stop. You come into God's house and you get under God's word and he is going to get after you. And you're going to say, the church services just ain't like they used to be. Well, maybe it's because you're not surrendered like you used to be. Maybe God's directing you to do something different or to surrender in some area and you're unwilling to do it. It isn't going to feel the same way. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, this peace of God, which passes all understandings, it says the two parts, it's going to keep your hearts and your minds, the two places that we ache and long to be fulfilled is in our heart and in our mind. And God says the only place, the only thing that can bring them peace is the peace of God. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, I mean, he says it here in plain English, open wide up for you. He says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through who? Through Christ Jesus. And he goes on and he tells you, because again, if it wasn't specific enough, now the Holy Spirit of God instructs him for all the rest of us that wouldn't have got it, that didn't get it all. He says, the problem is we think on the wrong things. Yeah. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest. Do you know how many people will focus on a lie and think and think and think about a lie? Yeah. A half-truth instead of the real truth. Things that are honest, whatsoever things are just. Too many times we want our own justice and not what God says is just. We want what we think is going to be the best outcome instead of surrendering to God's justice. We don't think about what is pure. In this world today, it is scary what some Christians think is purity. Yeah. All right? You can't water down the Bible. You can't water down the area where it says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. You can't water down all the things that God wants for us outside. There's wonderful things set up in marriage. But when you dabble and you get outside, you wonder why you can't find fulfillment, because you're trying to fulfill the lust of the flesh when God desperately wants you to be pure. And it's hard to have a pure heart and a pure mind when you're lusting after things fleshly. And it consumes you. And every time you take 5 minutes, and when you're by yourself and somebody's not preaching or somebody's not singing, somebody, you wonder why the kids put music on in their heads, because their hearts and their minds are at war with them, and there is no peace inside of them. So they have to put something in their ears to calm out the mind and the heart that's screaming out for fulfillment. That's where we live. Why do people drive up and down the road just to be seen of men with something going boom, boom, boom? Because they have no heartbeat of their own. They don't know what is truth. They don't know how to have direction. So they got to press themselves on somebody else. They got to push them out. Why do we tattoo ourselves up and punch holes in ourselves in this world today? Because we're hunting fulfillment, and we think if we draw on ourselves enough, if we punch holes in ourselves, you know what? It's a desperate heart and mind problem in this day and age, and all we really need is the peace of God. And it comes on thinking on the right thing, giving our hearts to the right thing. The problem is we love the wrong things. We set our mind on the wrong thing. And the problem in this generation is, if we're not careful as parents, you'll point your kids to the wrong thing and put their heart on the wrong thing and put their mind on the wrong thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, even for yourself, you're looking for fulfillment. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't just do it for me. He does that for my family as a whole. You think I can feel fulfilled when part of myself, part of my family, part of my blood is not in His house? It's not in His work. It's not in His will. And I'm going to have peace with God all the time? No. Those things, I'm going to have to get back in God's word and try to get all the peace I can. Amen. From God, because maybe I wasn't in truth at that time. Maybe I wasn't at peace with God at that time of my life. Folks, I just want you to know, peace of God comes for somebody who looks for peace in all the truth in God's word. Every one of these things, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I preached against social media and all the news and everything that's out there, because the devil has made a product to consume our thought life and to pump what he wants us to think into our brain. Why is it desperately important to keep the radio station on the air? Because we need to turn off the junk of this world and listen to good words of God through song. We need to encourage ourselves with spiritual hymns. Amen. We need to come to a place where we listen to the right things and think on them things, because we can't rejoice if we get off in our thinking. We can't come to a place where in everything we're going to pray. Do you know, for us, we, our first thought when trouble comes should be to pray and ask God to deal with the thing, to trust in Him. The world wants us to visualize success. God wants us to just simply trust in Him. God wants us to lay it at His door and walk on with a peace of mind and heart that God has got it all under control, that He's all powerful and He saw this coming before I did. Amen and amen. How about this one? Look at verse number 10, number 5. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. You know, oftentimes humble, submissive Christians, we want to think helping others is good, and it is good. I do think you ought to serve, but too many times we think we can help somebody else. But I just need to be in Christ. If God directs me to give somebody else the gospel, I didn't do anything but tell them about His goodness. They had to trust in Him, not me. I don't have any power to save. Listen, even if I tried to give out of my money, at some point it's going to run out. But I know a Father in heaven who has a cattle on 1,000 hills. And if I can turn their trust to Him, then they can have peace of God. They can have the fulfillment that I have. They're never going to find it in me. They're never going to find it in you. And too many times the world focuses on helping others when we need to, I'm just going to tell you, we need to be helped of others. Do you know when I really can thank and praise God? When I realize that God reached down and touched somebody else to come to me. That God cared enough about me that he sent a soul winner to knock the door of my uncle to win him to Christ. And I saw his moderation change in his life. And because of his walk, we all in our family saw that. We went down to see what was going on at that church. And our family found fulfillment in God, in his local church, and through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It changed my world. You know why? Because I can thank God today for others that came and helped me. You know, Paul here is going to thank others that came and sent to his need. Paul's a servant. Paul is directed by God. But too many times we look for fulfillment in what we do on a daily basis. If we win a soul or if we don't win a soul, that's how good God is. No, God was good all the time. That's just what he directed us to be doing in our work. Too many times we look for fulfillment in something, but every person that I deal with, when we deal with people, they will make their personal choice. But you know what changes? When somebody else does something for me. I didn't do anything. God direct. You know how it changes the world when God, listen, if you listen to him and God uses you, here a church gives to his need. God's given to him through this church. He said they lacked opportunity. You know, when God gives you the opportunity to serve others, that's a great opportunity. But no matter how they react. But you know, I used to be resistant to people helping me. I didn't want help. I kind of, you know, in my pride. It sounds a lot like pride, doesn't it? I don't need anybody's help. Well, I sure need God's help. And you know what I realized through the years? God uses people. You know, as a pastor, the whole thing that God really changed and stirred in my heart is that I can't reach Haines City by myself. That this isn't my job, is to do what God called me to do in this place, and to encourage others to do what God called them to do in this place, and to find fulfillment. And you know what happens? I've noticed with other believers, somebody else that doesn't know anything about plumbing, somebody goes and helps them and fixes something at their house. And I find that, you know, even in my family, you know, fulfillment comes because you're a part of something and people help others. People are helping you. You know, the world wants us to go out and help others, and that we find fulfillment. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've had doors slammed in my face. I've had people that weren't thankful when I gave them I gave them what I could give them, and then they were complaining because I didn't give them enough. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, you're not going to find fulfillment in that, but you know what you find fulfillment in? That you look up to the holy God that gives us peace, and he knows he's got it handled. Listen, I've said it over and over again, but I'm telling you, when I prayed to God and the letter showed up to my house, and it was from my grandparents, and they said, we're going to take you on as our missionary, I prayed to God for $100 a month. I didn't know where it was going to come from, and then the letter came from my grandparents, and I got upset with God. But you know what I realized? I got no business to get upset with God. God uses me. If he's going to use me, he's going to use others. And if he's going to help me in this Christian life, he's going to use other people to do it. Listen, you know what happened to Moses? If Moses was by himself, Joshua was down there fighting in the battle, and he was holding his hands up as long as he could hold his hands up. But others came and pushed his hands up. Do you know what listen, now Moses, he never got done at the end. He thanked God for the people that came and held his hands up because they won the battle. It wasn't about him to start with. It wasn't about people seeing him with his hands and he's so strong he could hold his hands up. He said, we've got a battle we've got to win. We got a fight that we're in, and God was sent us to this place and we've got to win this battle. Hey, hold up the man of God's arms. Hold up the arms of the person next to you. Help your Sunday school teachers. Help out on the bus routes. Find a place to help. And you that are serving, don't be so proud to not take help. Realize that God sent somebody to you. You know that the worst thing, and I just get off on this. I know where the time is, but just I hope you'll stay with me for just a minute. There is no success. I've said it over and over again, and I've realized it in my own life without successors. If you're not constantly looking to have someone else replace you, then you're not doing it right. Amen and amen. As much as a Sunday school teacher is teaching those kids in the classroom, you ought to realize that you're not guaranteed tomorrow. So who are you leaving in your place? Who have you said, hey, come and help me? Hey, soul winner, who have you invited to go train to be a soul winner with you? Hey, person, well, I like this other guy. Me and him, we're a good soul winning team. Yeah, you could be better if you'd take some new soul winner with you, and he'd take some new soul winner with you, and you'd train somebody else to be a soul winner, because you ain't going to be around until Jesus comes, maybe. He may come tomorrow, but you may not come around, and it would be really nice to leave two more soul winners behind that could go out together. Amen? Amen. Hey, we got to get this mindset. Let somebody else help me. Hey, I get to the place now that, man, every once in a while, it's all right to let somebody help me.
Amen?
Amen. I had somebody today say, "Preacher, you know, I talked about drilling into the wall and doing those things. I'm blessed." You know, I used to think, man, I can take care of that myself. But there is nothing like when I preach and the things that I don't think will affect anybody, like me working down there and hanging curtains, and that somebody in the church says, "Preacher, why don't you let me help you hang curtains? Why didn't you call me, preacher? I want something to do. I need something to do." I realize that I used to be like that. I used to be the person desperately looking for something to do. And I'd say, "Preacher, why didn't you call me? You shouldn't have been out here laying pipe. I'd lay pipe for you." Hey, folks, we got to get to the place where we realize that surrendering to God is, yes, we could do it ourselves, but God wants to let you let somebody else help you. God wants to let somebody be your person, that maybe it's your Joshua. Do you know what Joshua was called to Moses? His minister. And God loves to take the people that will minister to the man of God, the woman of God. We could go through the Sunday school teacher all the way up and make them the leader someday. Amen and amen. You want to find true fulfillment? Let somebody help you.
Amen.
It's not just about helping others. Sometimes we feel like helping others is what would bring fulfillment. But I've realized a long time ago when I just say, "You know what? God, I realize you're trying to help me here. You sent me somebody." Pastor talks about it often when he preached about one of the men, one of the deacons, I believe it was. He talked about how that he prayed that God would send him every man that he needed, every person that he'd ever need in the ministry. You know, because when we really get down and we realize God's will in our life, we realize we can't do it by ourselves. This isn't a one-man show. It's not a lone wolf type thing, is it? It's serving God together, and we need others to come in and help us in the work of God. We go on. He says in number 6, look at number 6, if you would, or number 6 for our point, but verse 11 and 12, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Do you know this idea of contentment is something that is hardly ever preached on in our day? Fulfillment never comes through things. The Apostle Paul said that I've realized, look what he says. "Not that I was speaking in respect of want." He said, "Listen, you just gave to me. You just helped me." He says, "For I've learned in whatsoever state I'm with, to be content." Verse 12, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Do you know, as a Christian, we are not subject. We don't have like extra rules for us. We live in a sin-cursed world, and we will at times find hunger. And at times we will have our needs supplied. Sometimes I'm just going to tell you, too many times this idea of contentment falls too close to what we think we should be content with. Instead of surrendering again to the will of God. Too many times we make our happiness about things. And to be honest with you, folks, that means that things have us and there is an idol in our lives. And there's something we want to wonder why we don't have fulfillment, because we're trusting in some idol to bring us happiness. You can make your house an idol. You can make your car. You can make your children an idol. You can make an animal. You can make anything in this life I'm just going to tell you, an idol in your life. You can make money. You can make land. It can own you and consume you. And instead of thinking on pure thoughts and all those things, that's the only thought you think. Instead of realizing, you know what? God has placed me in this place, and he has promised to supply my needs through his riches and glory. And I'm going to find myself content in this place. Do you know, when I've really found fulfillment and contentment where I was, God usually always made my circumstances better. But it wasn't until I realized that what I currently had, I really should be thankful for. When I came to the place where I realized that I had it pretty good, and that God has been way more gracious and merciful to me than I deserve. When I came to that place, usually that's when God blessed.
Amen.
That's when God came through. Look at lastly, he says here, you know, the world wants us to find good, to to focus on the positive. But Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
You know, true fulfillment is full circle, realizing I was weak all along and that I'm going to find strength in every area of life, my heart, my mind, my family, my church, everything. I'm going to find strength in Christ. I can do all things. I can't do all things by myself. Who in the world could ever make that statement that I can do all things without finishing it like this, through Christ which strengtheneth me? There are times I get weary in the flesh, and God either gives rest or rejuvenation to stay the course and to do His will and His work. Too many times, instead of going to God and saying, God, I'm wore out, I can't go another mile. Instead of going to Him and saying, God, but Your will be done. You strengthen me if You want to strengthen me. If You want somebody else to go, if You want somebody else to do it, God, I just want to see Your will done. I want to do Your work. God, I'm wore out. I can't go another mile, but I need You. I'm willing if You'll help me. You know, God will bring refreshment. Sometimes God will bring encouragement. Sometimes God will do whatever it takes to strengthen you where you are. But sometimes, I'm going to tell you right now, you've got to come to a place where you don't quit on God. We've come to a place where too many Christians have cut this verse out of their Bible. And they'll go just as far as the flesh will take them. And that will measure your Christianity, because you only work for God and in His work in your flesh. You don't know what it's like to serve in the Spirit. And you will never find fulfillment in this life until you cross and do not serve in this fleshly body. All right? That does get wore out. But I'm thankful that I've got a God. Even tonight, I prayed for unction. You know the word. There's all kinds of words in the Bible. But one of my favorite words as a preacher is there's unction. And I believe that that is a supernatural power that God gives the preacher to leave who he is for just a few moments. And he lets God have him. And he does feel exhausted at the back end of the thing. But you know, that unction ain't just for me. I believe that unction is for Sunday school teachers and for bus workers and for everybody all over the ministry. If they'll call out to God for wisdom, He said He'll give you wisdom. If you call out for God for unction, He'll give you unction. Listen, you know, we think about all the things. I look out across the auditorium and I realize I'm not the youngest person in the building and I ain't the oldest person in the building. And every one of us will find ourselves tired at some point. Every time, we're going to find ourselves at the end of ourselves. But listen, when we get to serve in the Spirit of God and we call upon Him for power and for His work, I mean, His work, not my work, but His will to be done. Listen, there's something supernatural that can happen in God's house. It can be a spirit like no other spirit. There can be preaching like no other's preaching. There can be singing like no other singing. There can be a work of God done in a place like this, like no other place, because this is the place where God showed up, because God's people gave themselves to God wholly for fulfillment and said, I want You to use me. I'm way beyond myself, but I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Hey, how about a people that would come back to God and be like that? Hey, I know that we are in that place. I know we got people like that. But listen, when was the last time you felt so full of God to the place where you felt like you could conquer the world? There was nobody that was going to tell you no, because God is on my side. God's behind this work. Listen, I don't know about you, and I'm not bragging on me, because I'm going to be honest with you. When I came to this and this helping others business, when I went down to the radio station, you know, the prior years, I'm telling you, there was some real worry, because I was looking for fulfillment of the budget. But this year, before I ever walked in the doors, I had a peace of God, because I just believed that God could. I knew that He could use His people to do it. I knew that God, and I just decided, even if we didn't hit the number that I thought was the number, that God knew the number. And that God could take whatever He brought in and He could multiply, not the loaves and the fishes, but the Benjamins, all the way until He got to where He needed it to be. All right? I'm just going to tell you, it was a great excitement for me that we went above and God did what He always can do through His people and people, others that help. Amen? But I'm just telling you that when I walked in the building, I had a peace. I was there to do the work of God, not my way, but His way. I went in humble and yielded to Him. Sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, I haven't always served God that way. But I'm telling you, there's a whole different service to God when we find fulfillment and peace in Him and decide, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I'm just going to do this through Christ. I'm just going to do this through Christ. I'm going to pray through Christ. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to rejoice in Christ. I'm going to do all these things. Think about all the things that God could use this church to do, not just on the mission field, but right here in Haines City, if on a daily basis we showed our moderation to all men, trusting God, having the peace of God, and walking with God in our daily lives. He said, "Preacher, man, I know you've gone over. Listen, how about this tonight? How about if you just surrender to God tonight?"
Amen.
Amen. Not worry about the time tonight, but realize God is speaking to your heart. God is speaking to you. You say, "Well, preacher, people all think I'm not fulfilled." Listen, folks, I wouldn't be preaching if God didn't have... If God didn't speak to my heart and soul and I didn't realize there are people in this building that need fulfillment.
That's right. Amen.
So why don't you come and ask Him for it tonight?
Amen.
Why don't you move past just asking for what you want, but submissively come with supplication before your God and beg God for what His will is for your life and to have it done in your life tonight. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you know that all begins in trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting in Him, giving Him yourself over to Him in salvation, realizing that you can't earn your way to heaven, you can't be baptized into heaven, you can't pray enough to get into heaven. You have to surrender to the finished work of what Jesus did on the cross and ask Him to apply His blood that He shed for you to your account, to your sins, and trust in Him for salvation. You could do that tonight. If you're here and you've been at this church over and over again, but you've never trusted Christ, tonight is the night for you to get saved. If you've not surrendered to Him, maybe you surrendered in the past to His will, but you are not surrendered tonight to His will, why don't you come back to God and surrender to Him? Whatever it is God is asking you to do, let's stand to our feet. As the musicians come, why don't you step out and come? Why don't you just step out and do what God wants you to do? If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, why don't you step out and walk down? I'll meet you here in the front. The musicians tonight are going to begin playing and begin singing. Why don't you step out and come as God has spoken to your heart?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here tonight and need to join the church, why don't you come down and talk to the pastor and say, "Preacher, I need to join this church. I've been coming a long time, but I haven't joined. I'd like to join." Why don't we talk about it tonight? Maybe you're here and you need to be saved. You've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Why don't you step out and come? And you say, "Well, people will see me, preacher. They'll see me." Well, their heads are bowed and their hearts are even asking God to save a soul like yours. If you just step out and come, as Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Tonight, if God's spoken to your heart, there's still time for you to come. A lot of people have come to the altar tonight. And folks, you know, true fulfillment is only found through Christ. And too many times we look everywhere else for it. But if you're a saved Christian tonight, you know you're on your way to heaven, and you know that your soul is saved, there's no reason for you to live an unfulfilled life. All you got to do is surrender to the will of God for your life. Just seek Him. This whole campaign has been about seeking God, and I pray tonight that you'll do that. We'll sing one more invitation hymn to give you opportunity. Brother Bert.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Brother Bert.